improving. My balance is improving. However, sometimes I still go, so the table is there to catch me. I had physio on, when did I go to physio? Friday, and she's like really pleased with my progress. Yeah, so. So, good morning. It's still morning, isn't it? Yeah, just about. Oh, Father, I pray you just help me this morning as I teach your word. I pray that it will be from your heart. Just ask Holy Spirit that you'll move in this place. Because, Father, we want to be who you've created us to be. We want to do what you've created us to do. So I pray that this teaching this morning will help us in that, to be what you've created us to be. Amen. So, the dictionary definition of temptation is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or something that's unwise. Okay, so we're looking at temptation. Now, I have a question. Have you ever been tempted?
No.
Anybody not being tempted? Well, do you know what? We're in good company because Jesus himself was tempted. So it's not wrong to have a temptation. It's what we do with a temptation that's the issue. Okay, so I'm going to read the passage of scripture where Jesus was tempted in the desert. And basically what happened, he'd just been baptized and he was just on the brink of starting his ministry. He'd been a carpenter prior to that. And he set himself some time aside to communion with God, to pray with God, and he went off into the desert as he was led by the Holy Spirit. So it says this, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the River Jordan. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says people do not live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, said the devil, because they are mine to give and to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. Jesus replied, the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will uphold you in their hands so that you will not even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scripture also say, you must not test the Lord your God. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came along. So this morning I'm going to take a look at those three temptations and just how Jesus responded and then how that correlates to what might happen for us right now in this 2025. Okay. Now we are given three examples, so the writers decided to record three. Now you will note that he was there for 40 days, so he was being tempted for all of that time. And then it was just decided that they would record three. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says that Jesus was tempted in every way and yet he did not sin. So every kind of temptation that we have ever faced or will face, regardless of the topic of the conversation, temptation, Jesus experienced that temptation and won. Okay, just beware, aware of that. I think that's really important that we know that. Jesus has been there and he knows what it feels like to be tempted in whatever way it was. That is actually good news for us. Don't you think? There's a lot of fairly somber faces. I'm sorry that this might feel somber. Please smile at me. Thank you. We're given three examples. Okay. So the first one was the temptation to turn the stone into bread. Do you know, Jesus was starving. He was really hungry. And you know they say, don't they, if you're really hungry, don't go shopping in a supermarket. Because hunger will tempt you to buy stuff that you really don't need, like the chocolate bar or the packet of crisps or whatever, the sandwich that's on the shelf. And but here he is, he's absolutely starving. He's not eaten for 40 days. That's a long time not to eat. And you know, the smell of fresh bread. And so the devil's like, I'm going to try this weakness. You're hungry. Why don't you turn this bread into stone? Exactly. Sorry. The other way around. Stone into bread. It's like turning wine into water, isn't it? Okay. What do you think that temptation is representing? I think the temptation to turn the stone into bread was a temptation to put our physical desires above seeking God. So Jesus had been fasting, he'd been praying, he'd been communing with the Father. He was preparing his human side of himself, ready for ministry. And the devil's coming along saying, you need this physical thing. Putting physical things before seeking God first. And the devil was also trying to get Jesus to use his position and his power for his own advantage. They're the temptations. Putting our own powers, using our own powers and our own positions for our own advantage. That's a temptation we need to think about. Temptation number two. To worship the devil. It seems a little bit of a strange passage because we know that God is king and he's creator of all and he's lord of all. However, mankind, when we sinned, we kind of put ourselves under the authority of the enemy, and he's wreaking havoc, as you know, Mark's just been praying about all the places in the world where the enemy is really having a go at humankind. Okay. So the ruler of this age at the moment, he's sort of saying to Jesus, if you worship me, you can have all this. You can have all the glory. I'll get the people to worship you. I'll get the people to look to you. Except that would mean that Jesus would have been number two, not the King of Kings. He'd have been under the rule of Satan. Not a good idea. But it was also quite cunning, really, because he was offering Jesus a way out of the cross, from the cross. Jesus came to die on the cross for us, and Satan's saying, I'll give you all this if you just worship me. It was taking the easy option. Temptation to go for the glory. Temptation to worship things other than God. Temptations of taking your eyes off God and looking to other things to get glory. worshipping the devil. Not a good idea. Temptation. So the third one, temptation to jump off the high point of the temple and let the angels catch you. He could have done that. You know, he could have jumped off the temple. That would have been like a quite cool thing to do in one way. You know, like, I'm Geronimo, angels come, pick me up, yay! Prove you've got the authority over the heavenly beings. Prove that you're the Son of God. Prove it. Jump off. What was he tempting him to do? He was tempting him to be proud and haughty. This is who I am. I'm the Son of God. Look at me. Yay! Jumping off, catching the angels. Temptation to be proud. Temptation to prove your power. Prove your authority. Using your power to promote your own status. That was the temptation there. I just find it really fascinating that all those three things, you know, of all the possible temptations that the writers could have chosen to write in this passage of scripture, that they chose those three. They chose power for our own advantage. They chose the desire for glory, and they chose pride. Prove yourself that you are the Son of God. I think they're significant. It's significant that they chose those three. I think that especially applies to those of us who want to. You know, Jesus was about to go into ministry. If he'd have fallen on those things, he couldn't have done his ministry. And so if ever, you know, we want to be what God wants us to be, we want to do his ministry, whether that's the upfront or whether that's whatever it is, whether that's, you know, ministering to the person on the cash till or your colleagues at work or whatever. These are three things that we need to be asking God to lead us away from. I'm going to come a little bit more about that in a minute, but how did Jesus respond? You know, I love the way he responded to each of them. Let me just remind you, to the temptation to turn stone into bread, he said, no. The scripture says, people must not live, do not live by bread alone. Temptation to worship the devil and get glory, he says, the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The pattern, you see the pattern, okay? To jump off the temple and get rescued by angels. He says, Jesus replied, the scripture also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Jesus used the scripture to rebuff the devil every time. That's also a significant thing. So what about us? We're living in 2025 and we want to be what God has created. Well, I do, and I'm assuming it's a yes from you too. We want to be who God has created us to be. You know, Jesus paid a massive price for you and me. He died on the cross, and his blood is enough to cleanse us from all sin. And when we choose to believe in him, he cleanses us, he makes us holy. Okay? In fact, Paul, when he's talking to the saints, the church, he calls them saints, which means holy ones. Okay, so turn to the person next to you and say, good morning, saint, and their name. So good morning, Saint Andrew. Okay, we are saints. He has made us his saints. Okay, a real saint. You don't have to have been dead for many years, and you don't have to be whatever it is that they go through to get their name saints. The Bible actually calls us saints. That means we are holy. But it also means that we have a responsibility to live and walk a holy life. We've got what it takes, and I'm going to go through that now. Okay? Now remember, Jesus was tempted. So it's not a sin to be tempted, okay? So don't panic when you get those thoughts that are wrong. They're not, it's what you do with it. You with me?
Yes.
Okay, so we want to be holy. We want to live holy. Hallelujah. So first of all, one of the main things is, like Jesus did, use scripture when you get the thoughts. Okay? You know, one of the scriptures that you could use is the one that Peter used where he says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Actually, you put the Lord first, then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, you can kind of only do this if you know the scripture. And that's why it's so important to have a Bible and to learn it as best you can. Now, I know it's going to take a lifetime and beyond to know it all. Okay? We're all, no matter how theologically minded you are and how clever you are, and you may have even done a theological degree like Steve, but there's always room to learn more. Okay? But we need to start if we've not started. And we need to be on that journey, because when we're tempted, we need to have the words to say. We need to know what the Bible says about our lifestyle. We need to know how to rebuff. So get to know the Bible. It's so precious. It's a precious, precious book. It's really easy to get hold of a Bible these days, you know. What was the statistic? More people are buying Bibles,
so,
aren't they?
Since 2019, the sale of Bibles has increased by 87% in the UK.
I think that's really exciting, that's just by the by. But the Bible sales are going up because the Bible is a true and tested book, and it's an amazing book. So learn your Bible the best you can. Okay. So we could do that. Secondly, B, we can put some practical things in place to help us with particular temptations. There's a little story. So up in the Himalayas, there's some really scary mountain drives and what have you. We experienced one, didn't we? Right, think of the story, right? You've got an option of going in taxi one or taxi two. Now, taxi one driver comes up to you and he says, right, listen, I love driving fast. I'll get you up to the top really quick. We'll go screaming up the corners and we'll go round and I'll get you there really fast. That's taxi number one. Taxi number two. We might not get there that fast, but I'm a really careful driver. I will drive as far away from the edge of the road as possible, especially when there's no, because a lot of the roads don't have crash barriers up in the Himalayas. It's really scary. But I'm going to drive really carefully, and I'll keep you as safe as possible, and I'll get you to the top. Which taxi are you going to go in? I'm going to choose taxi number two, right? Stay away from sin. Keep away from the edge as far as possible. Okay? That's a practical tip. So, you know, if you're really trying to, like, lose weight and you really like sweeties, don't buy them. Don't have them in your house. It's simple, isn't it? Or you're dating with your boyfriend and don't go away with them on your own until you're married. Don't go in the bedroom and shut the door. It's just little simple tips like that that will help you move away from temptation. Okay, so just little practical things. And if you're really struggling with something, an area that keeps coming back and you're having difficulties, find someone who's trustworthy, maybe your life group leader or one of the leadership of the church or a close friend, and ask them to help you be accountable. Okay? Because we're all in this together. We are a family and we're here to support one another. And we all want to live holy lives pleasing to God. Okay? That's another practical tip. And another thing we can do is we can pray. In fact, you know the prayer that Jesus taught us It's ended up being called the Lord's Prayer. I actually don't think it's the Lord's Prayer. I think it's the Disciples' Prayer. But anyway, because he gave it... I'm going off on a tangent. Shut up. Okay. Well, in that prayer, part of that prayer, it says to don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. It's asking for help. And the reason we can ask for help is because Jesus has experienced every temptation. He knows what it's like. And he's got the power and authority to say no. And through his Holy Spirit, he can help us also say no to that temptation. So we pray. You remember Hebrews says that Hebrews 4 verse 15 says that he was tempted in every way but did not sin. And then it goes on to say, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. So when we're really struggling with something, when something is a battle, we come to the throne of grace. Sometimes we are tempted to run away because we feel guilty. But remember the blood of Jesus is available to cleanse us from all sin, and we are to come to the throne of grace and ask for help when we need it. So that's good news, isn't it? That is really good news. And not only that, we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. This is Hebrews 12. It goes on to say, so let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility endured from the sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in the struggle against sin. It is sometimes a battle, but we're on the victory side. And we've got a throne of grace. And Jesus knows what it's like. And so we can ask him for help. So let's pray. God, I thank you for the cross. I thank you that the blood of Jesus, as it was being poured out, was enough to cleanse us from our sin. Thank you that you have made us your saints. You've made us holy. And Father, as a group of people, as your children here this morning, we want to live that holy life. So Father, if there's any sin in our life that is entangling us and slowing us down and stopping us from living our best Christian life, I pray that you will help us to walk away from temptation. I pray that you will help us to live a holy life so that there's nothing to tangle us up and slow us down so that we may soar like eagles, that we may live holy and reflect you well to the community around us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill us with your presence and that you would lead us away from temptation and that you would protect us and guard us from evil. We just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you that you are on the throne, that you are in control, and that one day every knee will bow to you and worship you. And right now we choose to do that. We love you and we worship you.